This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Afternoon here. What a beautiful Sunday it is here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. This is Remark. I am your host, Garth Minard Roseboro. And you know, we got so much things to say today, but we just came off of what the world celebrated as a crucifixion, a burial, and a resurrection. And we saw a world figure, religious leader, laid to rest, which we will call the burial, was about to take place. And like all of us, we await a resurrection. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, Remark is a show that just deals with the idea of turning your fiction into facts and your opinions. We want to make it into reality. And I'm always joined, for the most part, unless he's on vacation, taking care of his family, Darvin Russell. He's always here. As a matter of fact, he is a voice that has become very familiar to many of you and has been respected throughout many of homes that I was actually engaged with about how sensible and smart he is. And I just want to thank him, as we have not heard from him in such a while, that welcome back, my brother. It's always good to have you. Another familiar face here in the studio with us today is going to be Uncle Sarah, Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III, who is a religious mind in our country, a philosopher at heart. And we have also seated here today with us none other than Pastor Henry Moncur, who is a former president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Northern Bahamas Conference. He's also a pastor president here in New Providence, I think it's the Good News Seventh-day Adventist Church. He's also the director for the Adventist Disaster Relief Agency, which is ADRA. And he joins us today for this conversation. We also have someone that you may hear weekly and from time to time, none other than evangelist, minister, pastor, layman, I call him Dr. Paul Miller. You know, he's a doctor of service. He's a man who tries to ensure that he is a brother to all men, and so I want to welcome him here as our brother who continues to give us the medicine of good fellowship. And so today, as we sit here, we want to discuss the end time. The reason why we're doing this is because we never had the privilege of joining in any of the conversations around the what we call, in quote, the Holy Week. And I had made a commitment to these great men to sit and have a religious conversation, a spiritual one. But I also wanted to have one with meaning in that as we are looking at the news around the world, and even here in our country, you're hearing the talk of climate change. And, you know, climate change, one of the results of climate change may possibly be where islands will disappear due to the rising of the ocean waters. A part of climate change may be where there hasn't been famine before, there's famine. Where there's not been earthquakes before, there are earthquakes. We see the love of many waxing cold, and the prophecies continue to go on. But most of these things we can identify as happening possibly now. Now, here's the issue for me. Many of us, we are caught up on the ideas of Bohemian politics, the PLP, the FNM, the COI, and the INI and every other I. I get it. But are we to be so conscious about our political life that even on what some people call a blessed Sunday, I know the other two pastors are the Sabbath, the Seventh-day Sabbath, even on a blessed Sabbath, are people still minded towards the politics of this country, or are they truly preparing for a Messiah to come or the end of the world? Is this end of the world, is this a reality? Is this something that still exists? Because we've not really heard much about it outside of maybe your particular faith. But the average man doesn't speak about the world ever ending. It almost seems as if the world is going to be around for a very, very long time. And so we heard the prosperity gospel of if you sow a seed, you're going to get a blessing. If you give your tithe, you're going to get a blessing. If you give the offering, you're going to get a blessing. And everybody seems as if they are blessing in terms of the Learjets and the Rolls Royces and the mansions and the wearing of rich garments and wear and jewelry, and everyone is attempting to make themselves into the right archbishop of any diocese. I mean, are we caught so much on the titles and the situations of religion that we have forgotten that it is possible? That they think there's a text in the Bible, and these learned men can correct me in short order after they introduce themselves, that says to us that when we think the end is not near, that it may be possible that Jesus Christ may come suddenly, like a thief in the night. And so we're going to have a little breakdown. This is a discussion. We want to drive it home. We have Darvin Russell here with me. Darvin Russell, you want to say a word to the Bohemian people?
Happy Sunday, everybody. Good afternoon. It's good to be back in studio with you, my friend.
Well, it's always good to have you. You were abroad the other day taking care of your family.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as if you had a great time. I was looking at the college kids.
Yes.
And you look like one of them.
Yes. Boy, you know how to flatter people, boy. Yeah.
You look like one of them.
Man, look, I fit in just well. But I remember that was almost 30 years ago now. So it was a good time. My daughter pledged Alpha Kappa Alpha at Howard University a couple of weeks ago, and she, of course, gets whatever she wants, so she insisted that Daddy attend, so Daddy has not told her no in the 21 years she's been alive, so time to start now.
My God, yeah. What a father.
Yeah, I try to.
Sounds like the Heavenly Father, who doesn't ever want to tell you no. Uncle Surratt, Dr. Cleveland is the third. Go ahead and say hello to people.
Good afternoon. I want to say namastu, which means I bow to the divinity within each and every one of you, and it's great to be in studio, and I look forward to a productive conversation today.
Beautiful. And then we have Pastor Henry Monka, who's going to be here with us. Pastor Henry Monka, and then Pastor Paul Miller.
Let me say good afternoon to everybody. Good afternoon to you as well, Garth, and your co-host and everyone else in the studio. Looking forward to the time we're going to share together in terms of some insightful discussion that can be able to impact the lives of individuals as we go through the conversation.
Praise the Lord. Pastor Miller.
Thank you for having me, Brother God, and the rest of the brothers here. I pray whatever is said today, Jesus Christ would be uplifted, and people would be drawn, and they'll get an understanding of why we need to search the scriptures for ourselves, then the end of days will not be found wanting, and Jesus will say for us, depart me, I never knew you. Once again, thanks for having me.
I want to start with Darvin Russell, gentlemen, only because Darvin is he's a great mind in terms of understanding the financial life of this world. David, when you think about the money, what we call money, denominations, mm-hmm. We've heard of cryptocurrencies mm-hmm. and other such currencies on the verge. Are we moving away from traditional money? Is this really going to actually happen where it is possible that the dollar bill that we know today is no longer going to exist? Or do you believe that the same dollar is going to go ahead and persevere and it's going to surpass all of this talk of cryptocurrencies and these other digitalized currencies as we have it?
Well, I mean, Garth, you know, this is a very controversial topic, heated topic now around the world. For the most part, you know, there is a difference between a digital currency and cryptocurrency, although cryptocurrency is a form of digital currency. When you hear central banks and governments talk about cryptocurrency or digital currency, they basically are saying they take your paper money and they digitize it, right? So that's what the sand dollar is here in the Bahamas. When you talk about cryptocurrency, you're talking about Bitcoin, Ethereum, etc., things that transact on what's called the blockchain. There is, I guess you can argue, a fight between the traditionalists of the world, those who deal in paperback money or trying to get to digital currency, and those in the crypto space. You know, for a lot of people, crypto is not real money because at the end of the day, it's not backed by anything other than the persons that, in essence, create it. A lot of people feel as though crypto is money created out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you are alluding to, however, is this notion that, and what concerns a lot of people around digital currencies and even crypto, is the notion that somebody outside of you can control your money.
Mm.
So if you think about a digital currency, the government doesn't issue you paper currency anymore. Everything is on that little card. Some countries are using biometric security for you to access your money and a whole bunch of other technological things that is well beyond my capacity. But for the most part, they can then, in people's mind, restrict what you can and cannot do with your own money. That's very frightening for people. So if the government wants to monitor Garth, and Garth, for whatever reason, has become an enemy of the state,
mm-hmm.
they could essentially freeze all of your money.
Mm, the power.
Today, you go withdraw all your money, put it underneath your mattress, you still have your physical currency.
Mm-hmm.
In a digital world, that's not necessarily the case. That's the fear that people have, right? The government says, well, look here, we don't want Bahamians to transact in this particular item going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And they make that item unavailable via a digital currency exchange, if you will. Crypto is a little different, as I mentioned. And a lot of people like crypto because it is less apt to fraud. Right, so the blockchain, they say, is a very secure mechanism by which people can transact money, if you will, in quotations. But the idea behind that is the transaction speed, the cost of transaction is significantly lower, and essentially borders are irrelevant.
My word. Well, money is very interesting. I'm going to get to Dr. Cleveland Enius in a minute because I know he knows about traditional currencies. But you heard there, Pastor Monica, Pastor Miller, something that sounded familiar to me as I too ministered in the face about money, about losing the value, but more so the idea that they can control whether a person would be able to buy or to sell. Pastor Miller, Pastor Monica, which one do you want to jump in on that one first? Pastor Monka, are we in that time now where you think government's going to now come in and maybe decide that they're going to control the way we use money? They're going to tell us if we can purchase or we cannot purchase. As we look at North America right now, it almost seems as if there's a control mechanism being put in place to control the citizens of America. Is this something that may actually trickle down to countries like the Bahamas and other third world countries where the bigger countries can now say to us that if you don't comply, then we will tell you that you cannot buy or you cannot sell?
You know, I'm not the financial guru like Darwin here. So he has that on lock. But from a biblical perspective, piggybacking into what he's talking about, the Bible does make this allusion that as we get closer to the second coming of Christ, there's going to be a decisive decision that individuals will have to make. And there is that reference in Revelation where it talks about because there are individual powers that are set up, and we could get into all the nitty-gritty probably later. People will have to make a decision which side of this whole conflict they're going to be on. Because the reality is, all of us know there's good and evil in life. Mm-hmm. And so there's a side of good, there's a side of evil. And everybody has to somehow come down on one side or the other, that line. There's no mm-hmm. neutrality in terms of this. Even in terms of when you go to school, teachers say, if you do good, this is what happens. If you do bad, this is what happens. And so it's a reality of life. But the Bible does say that there will come a time when everybody has to make a decision which side they're going to stand on. And depending upon which side you stand on, it's going to determine where they're going to be able to be a part of the capital markets, a part of the regular markets that are going on, for you to be able to buy or sell, or if you're going to be locked out of that. Now, how that plays out, that's a whole nother determination. But the reality is, as we get closer to the end of time, you are going to begin to see certain things where, and I take it back to COVID. Look at when COVID came, it literally shut down the world. And in order for you to be able to do something, well, if you want travel, you got to get this shot. Now, if you don't get this shot, then you can't get on the plane. And there is a possibility that can play out in another aspect as we get closer to that coming, because the Bible does say, hey, you're going to have to make a decision which side you're on. So what he's talking about in terms of governments now being able to put things in place to control, and when you bring religion into that, because when you look at the history of how politics and religion play together, it's never been a good thing that has happened in the history of our world, whenever politics and religion get together, whenever government and religion gets together. But the emphasis in Revelation is, yeah, there is going to be that conglomeration that's going to happen. And depending on where people are, they're going to have to make a determination if they want to be able to buy. Well, I could go this way, but if you don't, then you're going to have to make a determination whether you're for God or whether you're just going to go with the system.
Brother Paul Miller.
What I like to say about that is, the problem is there'll never be a time you're not going to have money. But what's going to happen when you can't use it unless you follow what they say? So I'm not worried about the money matter. In fact, those who want money, I get two texts for them. Seek ye first the kingdom of his right, and all the things that are needed, not what you want, shall be added. I love what David said. He was once young. He grew old. He have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So the problem is money. The problem will be when measures come to bear, according to Revelation 13, when state and church work together, what you going to do? That's the question people need to be asking, because always could be money. Always could be proper trading and everything, or crooked trading, whatever. But when the measures, when the pressure hits the fan, for lack of a better terminology, and the lights goes out, and state and church work together in concert, it always brings bloodshed. It doesn't never bring peace and prosperity like some people think.
But we have King Charles III, who is the ruler of the Commonwealth of Nations, but also he sits as, I would say, the Pope or the, is it he's not even an Archbishop, but he would be the head of the Church of England, I would think it is. So head of the Church of England, which is an ecclesiastical entity, also sits as the head of a political entity, which would be the Church of England or the Anglican Church. You talk about this chaos, but this one same person does now seem to be ushering a time of peace, because we're not hearing of any calamity coming from England itself, other than he is fighting for his health. As I think they're saying, he may have cancer. And so what do you say about a person like this who has a dual role as head of a church as well as head of nations?
Well, the person who has the dual role, he is now dead. There's another one on the way. State and church, that's in the Vatican. They're the ones that push the shots. The Jesuits push the shots. And I encourage you all to study the Jesuit order. These men are doing some darkness you don't know of. In fact, if they order me to be killed tonight, before sunset, I need to be dead. The Jesuit order is at work.
Well, then we'll have to leave that to the people to study, because we are not that learned of men as yet. We're just trying to understand prophecy, as it were, where it's going to take us. Our prince said he went to bed one night, and he dreamt about the world coming to an end. And so this end of the world, is it going to come from the church? Is it going to come from the state? Right now, people are afraid of Donald Trump. Are they really still afraid of religion? Has religion really made a mark in the world to say it's coming to an end? Or are we simply just saying our kingdom is of this earth? We're going to take a break here from Pastor Uncle Surah, Cleveland Indians III. This is Remark, God's Roseboro. We'll be right back.
Look Looking for quality food at affordable prices? Look no further than Solomon's. Our stores offer unbeatable savings on your overall basket without compromising on quality. From quality produce to pantry staples, we have everything you need to create delicious and nutritious meals for less. When it comes to your grocery budget, don't sacrifice quality for value. Come to Solomon's and experience the best of both worlds.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
And we're back. Just want to give a shout out to Wally, our producer. He's here today with us, and we're jamming with Prince, because, you know, Prince even slept, and, you know, he's no longer with us. He's gone, too, so his world has come to an end. And that song, 1999, he said, you know, we're running out of time, and he went to sleep, and he realized he better party now. You know, we better party with all we got, because this is the end of time. This is the end of the world. But I'm looking at us, and we're still looking forward to billion-dollar contracts here in the Bahamas. We're still looking to some wealth and some riches and some changes to come. And you know what in the Bahamas really talking about? No end of time, no end of the world. I think we're still contemplating, is it going to be a PLP election, an FNM election? Does COI have a chance? Does the Independent have a chance? But, you know, you're not hearing too much on the street anyone talking about, does Jesus have a chance or does heaven have a chance? But I know some of you good Christian people who go to church every week, who believe in God, you believe that one day this world will come to an end. I think you do, but we're going to find out today. Today we're going to allow you to call in on our phone lines. The phone numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or you can text us at 422-4796. Once again, you want to text us, 422-4796. I just want to spin the mic over to Dr. Cleveland Enius, because, you know, he's going to tell us a little bit about his particular belief system, but I do believe he comes from an ancient source. And the ancient source would have had its own currency, I would believe, back in the day. I do believe that they do believe that God does exist. But I would like to know from him, what are the prophetic signs in his particular faith, or are there any signs at all?
Yes, good afternoon. So, first of all, Brother Garth and those who are here, when we talk about the end of the world, we're not talking about the end of the planet. We're talking about the end of an age. So you would have seen the great empire of Babylon that nobody thought could end, that ended. The great empire of Greece that came along that nobody thought could end, but that ended. And the great empire of Rome came along and nobody thought that that would end. And that ended. And now we're in the great empire of America and the European countries that sit at the helm of what you call the G7 to G10, and these great economic powers, mm-hmm. which is why you started today's show off talking about economics, because that affects us no matter what your religion is, no matter what your faith is, right? With regard to the Holy Coptic Church, we as in an ancient African church, we understand that a lot of the issues that we have when it comes to having this discussion of the end of the world or just biblical discussion on the whole, we as a African church, we see scripture using African eyes. What does that mean? It means that, first of all, we understand that when you say the word Bible is a word that comes from the word biblion, and that word biblion, etymologically, they will say papyrus, or somebody would say Egyptian papyrus. So this story, if you will, these revelations, if you will, these scriptures, if you will, when seen through African eyes, are able to be seen in a way whereby it's speaking to a specific group of people, the three groups of 12 royal tribes, of Ishmael, of Israel, of Midian. This is important because in the book of Genesis chapter 15, Abraham, his people, it's talked about in the 16th, well, from verse 13 to 16, it says he has a nightmare. And it says that his people would go through this horrific period of 400 years. Well, the people who've gone through an horrific period of 400 years are indeed the Africans. But it does also say that these people would return to their fathers in a good old age and with great substance. This is important because the book of Revelation chapter 18, verse 4 says to us, come out of her, that you be not partakers of her iniquities, that you not be not partakers of her plagues, or be caught up in her plagues. The end of this age, or the end of these economic institutions or systems, it is here. That is without a doubt. All right? When you see the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talking about a great falling away that has taken a place, that's taken place, we have to understand that the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it talks about the god of this world being Satan. That's important for us because many are worshiping who they think to be the Most High, when indeed they are worshiping the god of this world, which is indeed Satan. This Satan, as, excuse me, what's your name again, sir?
Brother Paul.
Brother Paul, Elder Paul. I gotta call you Elder. All right. What he said was so important, right? Because it's not about whether or not you're going to have money or not. It's about whether or not you're going to be able to spend the money when they say you have to do X, Y, and Z to have access to your money, Brother Darwin, right? Mm-hmm. He said something that, I mean, it sends chills through your body, right? If you're saying something that the powers that be don't want you to say, and you come off the radio, go to the food store, and your card ain't working. That's we're here. We're in that day and time.
Hold on a moment. Caller, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. God.
Go ahead, he's here.
Listen, do you know the Apostle Lamb? Even the Apostle Lamb was looking for Christ to come back in their time. They say, come now, Lord Jesus. Because what they were going through, the persecution, they will even say, Lord, come even now. But the Bible says there will be a closing. And no man, no flesh and blood know when God is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
We could go around it. We could study it. We could put little things together and say, well, this is, see, that is man belief, man way of thinking when he's coming back. We had pastors who tell all the people back in a couple of years back, sell all the things. Because Christ was coming back in 225 and the next thing.
Yes, we've heard that.
So, and people sold their goods and stuff like that.
Yes.
But watch this. He didn't sell it. He didn't sell his stuff. He didn't sell his stuff. He had all the people, everybody, the church, them selling all their stuff. But he didn't sell his stuff.
No.
Because he know he don't know that.
See, you think so? I appreciate this call, my brother.
Thank you.
All right, man. Pastor Marco, you want to jump on that? Go ahead, Pastor Marco.
And even picking up something Dr. Ian just talked about, because he started off referencing those kingdoms in this whole thing with Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel talking about the fact, they're going to be kingdoms, they can try, but none of them could get it right. And it's coming back to our whole thing with this system. Yeah, people are going to try, men are going to try. You have all these various different governments, but none of them will get it right.
Mm-hmm.
until
you're
the end.
Me PLP and FM can't get this thing
well,
right.
Well, I won't go down that road. But I will say this. I will say this. The whole land of the prophecy. Nebuchadnezzar figured that he was going to reign forever, so he built his golden image.
Okay.
To say, guess what? Yeah, you tell me. I'm not going to be able to last, but I'm telling you I can last. And then God had to set him straight.
Okay.
So all of those, like Dr. Nee says, all of them passed off the scene. So now we got these guys in the European Union. We've got all of these other bodies coming together. And Daniel said something, and he says, in the days of these same guys trying to put their systems and all that in place, what's going to happen is God's going to say, hey, none of y'all could get this right. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set up the kingdom that's going to get this right. So the caller just talked about the fact that Christ has set up a time when he's going to come back. And the thing that we've got to understand, and we were talking about it during the break, we say we're a Christian nation. And notice what I said. We say we are. Mm-hmm. But even though we say that, how many people are actually of the view that, hey, God could show up any day?
Well, this is why I'm here today. And I'm only here today for that reason. I'm asking even the question, we say that we believe in God, but do you really feel that way when you go throughout the streets of New Providence, out of Nassau, throughout the Bahamas? Let's talk about prophecy a bit. Does prophecy show us that God is real?
Yes.
Tell us, Pastor Paul. How does that show us that he is real? Because there's no real hard evidence to say, I've seen God, I've seen his face, he's touched me with his hand. But if you look at prophecy, is there a clear blueprint that says to us that when this book, this holy book says to us that A is going to take place, has A taken place? If it says that B is going to take place, has B taken place? Is this book called the Bible truly prophetic and shows us an origin that is not of human understanding and credibility?
The Bible is clear, you know. He started up Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, Pagan Rome, then they break up into the different kingdoms. Three of those kingdoms are out of existence today, the Hurlies, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths. They were plucked up by the papacy. They're no longer in existence today. And Jesus tells us in Revelation 13, through John the Revelator, that two systems will come together, one from the earth and one from the sea. Those two systems are working together. When you see the Pope went to talk to the joint members of Congress, that should have blown people's minds if they were thinking. There was a time when the Pope going to America, they would have killed him. They run from popery. That's how America got started, from the bloodshed happening over there. So when you see the Pope hopping on this plane dubbed Shepherd 1 and touchdown in America, and you see the U.S. President hopping on this plane dubbed Air Force One and touching the papacy, that ain't normal.
But isn't our Prime Minister going over there sometime soon?
Dude, the kings of the earth are committing fornication with her. Who's the her? The her is the papacy, not the people. The system.
But that's so if you're talking about a system of rulership, don't we all fall underneath that very same system? Some way, some part. You had to come out of that system. If you profess modern day Christianity and it started with the Orthodox Church as we knew it, when we talk about Constantinople and we move towards modern day religion, you some way, somehow in your religion today had to come out of that very same system.
I believe, based on my study of the scriptures, all the churches came out of the papacy, save one. The first people that followed the scriptures were Adam and Eve, and they came right down to our time. The papacy, all these denominations backtrack right into the papacy. I don't believe the system I'm a part of came out of the papacy. We had a remnant. We got started in the Garden of Eden.
But the remnant is what is left out of. But it had to be a part of something bigger. So the something bigger that was part of had to have been the system.
If you understand
what I'm trying to say to you, look at the whole. See, and Darwin is a financial man. He thinks the way I do numerically. If you were 100% a part of Guardian 96.9 FM, and then we say, you know what, we're looking for specific people with a specific mindset, with a specific ability, with a specific skill set, then we go through a whole situation of where we're going to separate, as you say in the Bible, the wheat from the tares. And we're left with three people from Guardian 96.9 FM. That would be the remnant, but yet still, that remnant was still a part of 96.9 FM. Darwin Russell.
I agree. No, I understand. I mean, this is a fascinating conversation. I mean, I guess, one of the things that I think is people are challenged with when we hear conversations like this is, what Bible are you reading?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there is nowhere in Scripture, and I'm not saying this emphatically, I'm saying for the average person. The average person doesn't view Scripture the way it's being expressed this evening, right? So it's like, how are you connecting these dots that don't seem connectable, right? Because you talk about this nexus between the papacy and these G7 nations, that the average person doesn't see this connection as being significant. You talk about things like we're a remnant, when most people in the Christian faith view themselves as the whole, right? And everything comes or came out of, there were Jews and Gentiles. Those are the only two language we in the church talk about. So when we hear language like this, it's more confusing than anything else. So like connect the dots for the average person without making their head spin.
You use a very interesting word, remnant. Does the Bible identification mark to identify the remnant? Revelation 12:7 says, here is the patience of the saints.
Read it again.
Here are the patience of the saints. No, I quoted the wrong scripture.
Right.
It says that the remnant people keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Okay.
Revelation 14.
They're the two points. They keep the commandments of God. They have the testimony of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation because it points to Jesus Christ.
And I'm saying, by that definition, who are you defining as the remnant?
Those who keep the commandments of God and follow the Bible from Genesis to Revelation.
Is that Christians?
Anyone who follows, yes. The Christians are the word Christian means the follower of Jesus Christ.
Yes. So is that referring to Christians?
Yes.
Okay.
So in the book of 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 18, it says, therefore the Lord is very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. This tribe of Judah is also referenced as the remnant.
Okay.
The remnant of Israel that had kept the commandments, right?
So at this point in the Bible, you say the other 11 tribes were no more?
It's not that they weren't any more. It's that the Messiah in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and 23, because they lived a lawless life, he said, I never knew you. You were of this house of Israel.
Yeah.
Israel had been removed. And this is why the Messiah, when he is moving through the areas that he's moving in, and for example, in Matthew chapter 15, there's a Canaanite woman who is asking him to heal her daughter. And he ignores her. And then the disciples say, get her away from us. And then when he does speak to her, he says, I didn't come for you. I only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and that was Judah. So in this day and time, those we reference the three groups of 12 royal tribes that are of this. The word Judah or Huda, or in the Arabic you'll see Hadi, it means guidance. These were the tribes of guidance. These were those who actually understood the law, which is why they were called the salt of the earth, because the salt preserves. It keeps things intact. It keeps things in the way that they originally were. So the reality is these three groups coming out of, and they we always, in the Hellenistic or Greco-Roman aspect of Christianity, we focus on men a lot. Not that the men aren't important,
right?
But the three women that Abraham had children with, Hagar, Sarah, and Keturah, their mitochondrial DNA, their genetics, are very much important insofar as they were given the realities of these three groups, the guidance necessary for them to follow what we refer to as the Ten Commandments, which ultimately came out of the laws of Ma'at, right? Which, if you do research on it, they talk about the 42 or 47 confessions, depending on who you're talking about, negative confessions, right? And this is why we understand it's important to look at this from an African perspective because this is an African book. In fact, Moses, in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 22, was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So when we talk about a remnant, we're talking about a specific group of people that lived a way of life that ultimately allowed for them to be at one with the Creator. We understood that in these times, because in the book of Matthew 24, verse 37, it says that the coming of the Son of Man will be likened unto the days of Noah. Mm-hmm. Well, in the days of Noah, all of the thoughts of the people were evil continuously, which is what you see happening today, right? And the reality then, the caller talked about the fact that no one knows exactly when that day, and I agree with the caller, no one knows exactly when that day is. You made a point about King Charles being in place and things being, you know, looking good. But 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3 says just the opposite. Well, it says even when things look like it's going very good, just like that, mm-hmm. it could get very bad and no one will escape. Mm-hmm. You understand? So the reality then is when we talk about these churches that are coming out of the papacy and Elder Paul, Paul, right?
Yes, sir.
Elder Paul, I only smile because I have another Elder in my church called Paul who passed away. But when it talks about the churches that's coming out of the papacy, he's right insofar as I remember going to the Anglican church and saying the Nicene Creed, and I was confused because I said, but this is a Catholic prayer. But then if you understand how these churches have come out of the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. then you begin to understand why they all go to kiss the ring. Mm-hmm.
If I may, coming back to what Darvin talked about, because mm-hmm. he mentioned earlier, and terminologies are important.
Very.
If you don't have correct terminology, mm-hmm. we could be using the same word,
yes.
but we could be at two totally opposite ends of the spectrum.
Agreed.
So this whole remnant thing coming back, the Bible when the Bible talks about remnant, it references different aspects of remnant.
So let me ask you this.
Israel had a remnant. End of time, there's a remnant. And so there have been different periods. And my aunt was a seamstress, still is a seamstress, and she would tell me, hey, I need you to go get a remnant for me to bring it here for me to do something. Now, by that, she had a specific terminology. She says, I need you to get a piece that's been left over from the original mm-hmm. to bring it to me.
So guess what? Let me throw a little spoke in the wheel, because I want to welcome you all to Remark. You know, Remark, I got to play with you. I just got to do it. This is what I do. Do you realize that there's a remnant of Bahamians here, right? You realize that, eh? So I don't know if this Bahamian thing will last forever either. Look like we can have a time of the end here, too. Want to join in this conversation, folks, 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of Ireland, 300-5720. You can text at 422-4796. If you want to be a sponsor for our show, 302-2300. Before we get into some heated politics, next week, Sunday, politics on steroids, we got to give a little service to God first. And so today, we're just going to sit with the master of the universe and have a good old God talk. We'll be right back.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Make this Mother's Day extra special with Kelly's House and Home's Mother's Day sale Friday, May 2nd through Saturday, May 10th. Enjoy 20% off a beautiful selection of dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flowers, and picture frames, except on net items. These are all perfect and stylish gifts to show mom just how much she's loved. Hurry in and take advantage of Kelly's House and Home's 20% off Mother's Day sale Friday, May 2nd through Saturday, May 10th. Happy Mother's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
All right, folks, we are back. I tell you, listen, we're having this discussion, trying to give a little praise to the Creator, right? And on the break, man, it's almost like the day of Pentecost up in here, but we got some discussion up in here. And some of these things I can't bring to the microphone yet. I'm trying to tell these learned men that everybody's not where they are. You know, there's a scripture that says that some on milk and some on meat. You know, these are men of meat. You know, some of these men don't even eat real meat. They eat vegetarian meat. But you got a whole lot of people in our country on milk. And the one thing I don't like to do, and I'll say this very clearly and boldly, there are somebody called babes in the faith, Darwin Russell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they see the different disruption in the number of different religions, they say, man, what the heck am I a Christian for? They look at they confused too. Mm-hmm. The same thing happens in politics. You know, like look, the PLP don't know what they're saying, the AFLA don't know what they're saying, the COI don't know what they're saying. People ain't into that. Mm-hmm. So they go to the beach. What I'm trying to do today, though, and my objective, and I must just say this to you, is I want to establish, based on prophecy, this whole talk about the end of time. If this is so and there are steps towards the end of time, does these steps shout out to all of us that, you know what, this, number one, God is real. Number two, that the holy writings are true. And if you follow those, you will understand that either we are near the time of the end or we at the end time. And should you be involved in so much that you are trying to grab maliciously garner everything like Nebuchadnezzar did, as you said, with this whole statue of gold, and say, I'm gonna be around forever, and he's gone. Even Prince that we're listening to, he's gone. Michael Jackson is gone. Whitney Houston is gone. You know, President Reagan is gone. These people are gone, you know? And who's not gone? Even the Holy Father, they call him, he's gone. And so we all know that we're on a clock, that the end of time for us would either mean the entire universe ends or our life as we know it ends. And we have all these theories out there, Pastor Paul and Pastor Monka and Pastor Anku. There are theories out there that talk about alien life forms coming and visiting the planet. There are theories about there's so many millions of worlds that they find every day through science. There's so many theories that say, you know what? They found water on other life, on other planets. You know, all these are theories. You know, what does it really mean? Are we really going to end? Or like the Hindus say, I'm going to go ahead and tomorrow I may be a camel, or I might be a tree, or I might be a dog. What does it really mean? Is there truly an end to life as we know it? Go ahead, Pastor Paul.
I go back to this thing in Daniel 2, what we talked about earlier, and I don't want us to miss this.
Okay.
Daniel 2 is very clear. Hey, there are going to be kingdoms.
Kingdoms.
And there are going to be kingdoms down through the history of the world, but there comes a point where God says enough is enough.
What is the last kingdom prophetically that you know about in the Bible?
The last prophetic one based on Daniel 2 is what talks about the kingdom of Rome. And Daniel 2, the legs of iron, which historical scholars represent with Rome. Okay. So that's the last world kingdom prophesied in the Bible. But I don't want to miss the point where I'm really trying to go with this, because I don't want us to get caught up in the bush and we miss the whole big picture.
Give us the picture.
There comes a time where God says, bam, enough is enough, and I'm going to set up my kingdom.
Okay.
And we don't know when that time will be, but when we look at the events that are going on, it begins to tell us, hey, this thing is coming close. But here's the point where I'm trying to get. The whole thing with prophecy ain't so much about a timeline. A lot of people get mixed up in trying to figure out a timeline. It ain't about a timeline. It's about understanding that God wins. And so if God wins and I'm connected with God, no matter when this thing goes off, I'm going to win.
Yeah, but see, you're missing something as a good preacher that you are.
What am I missing?
You're missing the fact that no one is going to argue with you much unless an atheist that God will win. If they really believe in God, they believe in God will win. But here's what you don't understand. Until God wins, I won't win. An eye one win means sin. That don't mean no righteousness. See, righteousness is too hard. Righteousness means I got to love you. Righteousness means I got to feed you. Righteousness means I got to look out for you. Mm-hmm. No, 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 no. Righteousness means I can't have two gals.
Yeah.
I can't have no sweetheart.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's righteous. I can't, I can't rob you.
Right.
I can't do these things.
And this what prophecy does.
So I need to just go ahead and live right now. But if I could ever believe and think that he might come tomorrow, I better straighten up.
No,
and fly
right. Around. Because here's the deal. Here's the deal. This is what prophecy does. One, it God wins. Uh-huh. But not only that God wins, that it means that I must, it connects me with God to trust in him, that he has this thing. Now, here's the deal. Here's what a lot of us miss.
Okay.
If I die, my prophecy is ended.
But who?
Because after my death, that's the end of it. And so the thing is, that's why prophecy challenges us to live right now.
But does a healthy man really believe he's going to die today?
No, healthy man didn't really believe
that. Okay, then so why?
I just came from a funeral I just did of an individual who was healthy and just fell down dead.
How old?
59.
And
it challenged me because I could see that. So the thing is, what prophecy does, it ain't about the timeline.
Uh-huh.
A lot of us get caught up in timeline, and because the timeline doesn't go the way we want, we lose faith in God.
My God, I passed the
ball. It ain't the timeline. It's about trusting in God so that no matter which way this thing goes, that I know God has me secure.
That's the point. I see you itching, boy. You're itching.
See, the thing about it, right? If we just use the Bible, but we don't use the Bible. We don't use philosophy. I think, no, what the Bible says, dust thou art and dust shall thou return.
Uh-huh.
And dealing with prophecy, the Bible says two nations can run to the front and God can bring them to an end. Papacy and religious people coming together. See, apostate Protestantism, America, it ain't the prime minister, Trump we should be looking at. It's the religious leaders who surround them from who can give their power to the papacy. And that's why I said earlier, when you saw Pope Francis hop on his plane and touch down America and the speaker behind him crying tears, like that was really God, that should have blown everyone's mind who's studying prophecy. Everyone who's not a Catholic is a Protestant. You protested against the action of the Catholic Church. The system, not the people. My dad was a Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
The system is working in the background through the Jesuits. And I'm telling you, study it.
So listen to this now, Pastor Paul. You keep going back to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably written about over 2,000 years ago. I know Uncle may have some other sources to share with us in a minute. Mm-hmm. But let's say that's written over 2,000 years. And you're talking about Pope Francis and all the rest of these people, mm-hmm. right? So for 2,000 years, this prophecy has been sitting there for what? Are we going to be here for another 2,000 years, or are we going to be here for another 200,000 years, or are we going to be here for another 2 million years?
However it be, God can give us victory, get a victory over sin. He can give us power to get the victory over sin. But this one thing I do know, the prophecy will come to an end. God will raise up a kingdom.
But we may not be here.
Most likely we may not be here, based on how we playing around. We be playing with the gospel. So we can maybe get 2 or 3 more generations. I don't know. But like Pastor said earlier, that's not important. How we dying and how we living now is important. But once we go sleep, we wake up in Jesus Christ.
Pastor Uncle Sarah.
The prophecy will end when we get it right. When we stop doing the same things over and over and over and over again and calling it salvation, that's when the prophecy will end. We hear talking about the Bible, but in many respects, in this country and around the world, we've never read the Bible. We don't even understand where the Bible comes from. We don't even appreciate. I'm going to share some names of some books that you may or you may not know about. But one of the prophetic books in the Bible today is the book of Revelations, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's not the name of the book.
No.
They say the Apocrypha, but it's called the Istanjil, the book of salvation. It is the book that teaches us salvation. And matter of fact, it shows us how the salvation will look when we go to the book of Revelation chapter 7, where it seals the 12 tribes, which I started talking about earlier. And then in verse 9, it talks about a multitude of people of all races, of all languages, of all standing in white, waving palms, right? This salvation that we are seeking is not an individualistic salvation. That is a Greco-Roman theology. We have to get back to community. We have to get back to what the church originally meant, an assembly. But we unfortunately have assemblies filled with individuals who asking Jesus to take the wheel, and their family is driving off the cliff. Mm-hmm. and we're not taking stock of where we as Christians are actually at. And are we actually going into the Word the way it was originally intended for us to go into the Word? When you're reading the book of Revelations, you're also reading the book of the divine cow.
Divine cow.
Divine cow. And in that book, it talks about the seven churches, just like the book of Revelation does. You're reading from the book of the coming forth by day. You're reading from the book of the caverns. You're reading from the book of the gates. You're reading from the litany of Ray. You're reading from the Malayan manuscripts. They have hundreds of thousands of manuscripts that are being unearthed out of dry wells and under people's houses that they've kept hidden. I think now they have allowed the South Africans to begin to store them because a lot of them have been worm-eaten. And this happened over 10,000 years ago when a leader, who they would refer to as a pharaoh or an Nefertiti, his name was Shubaka. And Shubaka realized that the scrolls that were written 25,000 years before him were worm-eaten, and so he had them inscribed on stone.
25,000?
Yes, 25,000 years. This is what the African records show us.
So here's what I think may be an issue for people, right? We live in a technological age where there's Google, and now we're living in an AI age, right? I think for a lot of people, the Bible can be validated. Let's just say it like that. All of the other books that you're referencing, and I'm here as a student and a co-host, so I'm not trying to offend any of you gentlemen. But the fact is, how do we know that the other books that you're referencing are, one, predate the Bible, and two, are valid records of history, if I could use that term? And so even if you want to use the word indoctrinated in the current incarnation of Christianity,
right,
it's still, for those of us that study the good book, rings true to us because so much of that book has been proven, whether it's in our own personal lives, those around us, or in the people in the book that we're reading about. These other books that you reference, however, sound like a fairy tale because it's like, who even wrote these books? Do these people really exist? Is this mythology, right, or is this history? So if you could speak to that, it would be helpful.
Well, the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it talks about the time when God winked at ignorance. Mm-hmm. And that time is over. We've played, like someone was saying earlier, we played with this scripture long enough. Mm-hmm. It's very simple to understand where these books have come from and how old they are. Just research. You said it. Mm-hmm. We're in a day and time of AI, of technology. The oldest universities in the world are in Africa. Timbuktu is not. Remember when we were small, we say, mm-hmm, from here to Timbuktu. We didn't know Timbuktu was. I didn't know it was a real place.
Right.
Until I started studying. I was like, this is a real place. Right? But in these universities, we had and have these scriptures. Mm-hmm. But these weren't necessarily scriptures in the way that we use scripture today. We didn't believe in the book like the book was our salvation.
Okay.
We believed in the book like you would believe. My first degree is in biology. Mm-hmm. I have many biology books. I don't believe in those books. Mm-hmm. But I utilize those books, and those books are revealed to me when I take the information in those books and apply it to reality. Mm-hmm. And what the book says is going to manifest, actually manifest. Well, it's no different with these books.
Gotcha. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Go ahead, caller, go ahead. Caller, go ahead.
Hello, good evening.
There
go
you
ahead.
Go.
Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I see sitting for God. Sound like I said, yeah, I'm cool on the radio.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he's here.
Yeah, good afternoon, man. I just want to make a quick input. I just walk in and get a little glimpse of the conversation, right?
Okay.
But as it relates to the biblical scriptures, and so you voice him, who answered, right? I absolutely agree with you saying as far as the Bible being contextualized and transliterated, right? Mm-hmm. But I want Uncle to just clear this up because you have some people that come on the radio and it's more like an authoritarian type religious impositions that they make.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, yeah, but the Bible says this and the Bible says that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you highlighted the fact that you reminded me of the fact about pseudepigrapha, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I'm saying is when you really delve into the Bible, like the narratives, and you study it. You would find out, like I asked the question, why is it the Bible of two people listed as killing Goliath?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that David is said to be killed Goliath twice?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at the Synoptic Gospels, you talk about access to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yes.
Like when the St. John's, they call it the Synoptic Gospels. We know they have similarities on similar accounts that say the resurrection, the crucifixion, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, sir.
So when you delve into them, they have dissimilarities. So all I'm trying to establish the fact is that there are transliterations because of word history or lexicology, and you have incorporated a lot of mistakes because of the Bible is transliterated from one to the next. I don't want to get too science.
No, I understand, though.
And the fact that we aren't going to need you really to do a show to explain the power of the Trinity because I listen to you. So maybe it's time I start coming, you know, like to really try and increase just for my children to help them to run the right path. Because we as Negroes, we get mixed up with the Trinity. And so once we get God wrong, we get everything else wrong. So I'm not as learned as Uncle, but I'm able to, my level of threshold in religious studies is enough that I won't be duped. When we look at the writing and the thesis of Martin Luther, who was within the Roman papacy, and we look at his thesis, why would you conclude to still be a Catholic? We are being kidnapped, raped spiritually. And so this is what I'm saying is, the fact that the Bible contains pseudepigrapha, and you're using the Bible as an infallible text, knowing that it's embellished and adulterated by man, then we are blindly just being... I'll just listen to Angela.
No, I appreciate your contribution, my brother. Go ahead.
So, 52, thank you for calling. What we have to appreciate is that the Bible, as we're referencing it today, the further back you go in time, the less you will see there being one book that everybody followed.
Okay.
The books had to be compiled.
Mm-hmm.
And this is no different than what happened within the Hindu traditions.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, after a people have been scattered,
yes,
and you want to reunite these people, the books of the various tribes have to be brought together, and the remnant of that tribe must now appreciate that these are different aspects of the remnants of these tribes that now exist. It's difficult for anybody today to jump up and say, I am exclusively from the tribe of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm exclusively from the tribe of Joseph. Because we've been mixed.
Okay.
Right? But there was one called Wemesu. This Wemesu, and there will be names that I'm going to say today that people aren't familiar
with.
I understand that, right? But I'm only saying it so people can do some research on it, right? But they call him Sanakin Re, right? He understood that the tribes that had been scattered, in order to bring these 12 tribes together, we need what is sacred to you, what is sacred to you, what is sacred to each of these tribes. We need to bring them together and create this book that would allow for us to respect each other, to see each other in divinity, and to allow for us once again to be at one with the divinity within us, right? What has happened is, what we're calling the Bible today has been hijacked by the Greeks and the Romans. And so what we're actually looking at, the first place we were called Christians was in Antioch, which is one of the places the Messiah told his disciples not to go to. Do not go to the Gentiles, Matthew 10:5. Do not go in or enter into the cities of the Samaritans. Don't go to these people. I didn't come for them, right? The reality is when they put these books together, they left books out. They wrote about the book of wars, Numbers 21 and 14, the book of the covenant, Exodus 24:7, the book of the laws of Moses, Joshua 8:31, the book of the records of thy fathers, Ezra 4:50, and I could go on, the book of Joshua, right?
Yeah.
There are names of books in the Bible that are not in the Bible.
The Bible, I got what you're saying.
Yeah.
Before you say this, I want to encourage, I had a pretty amazing last year. As Garth knows, my daughter hosted me to a daddy-daughter weekend in Washington, D.C. for my birthday. One of the places that she took me to, and if you are a student of biblical history, you need to go to the Museum of the Bible. It exists in no other place on earth except in Washington, D.C. It is a fascinating tour. And it speaks to a lot of what you're saying. When you realize how the modern-day Bible, if we will, has changed over time. It's an absolutely fascinating. I just wanted to put that plug in there. So for you men would seem to enjoy an experience like that, whether you agree or not with what is being said, somebody's took the time
to put together
an incredible collection of religious history. So I'm sorry, Pastor.
Just before Paul goes, I just want to, there's something that was said that I don't fully agree with.
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't say the Bible has been hijacked. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at this book, it's the bestseller in the world.
Right.
So something that's been hijacked to be the bestseller in the world, that means there has to be something about it.
Yes.
Whether or not I am fully for it or not, there has to be something if you're the bestseller around.
Yeah.
But beyond that, when you look at how this book came together, but not just came together, we're talking about this whole thing with prophecy. Mm-hmm. When you look at what God has said, here's what's going to happen, and when you could actually trace back what he said is exactly what went down. That gives you confidence that there's something, not just in this book, but there's something about the author, the ultimate author of the book. Because, yeah, men wrote it, but they were not the ultimate authors. Mm-hmm. They were moved along by the Spirit to put this down. Mm-hmm. And so that ultimate author somehow is trying to get us to understand we're not the ones who's going to end this thing. He's the one who's going to end this thing. Mm-hmm. And since he is going to end this thing, it's coming back to this thing we're talking about, prophecy. Yes, this world at one point in time will come to an end. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that whether we believe it or not, whether we want to have fun or not, Bobby Brown wrote this song, My Prerogative. Where do you want to go have your prerogative and all that? Go do your prerogative. Mm-hmm. Go sleep with how many women you want to sleep with. Go drink how much you want to drink. Go do whatever you want to do. But there will come a time when this world is going to come to an end.
Before we go to Pastor Paul, let's get this call on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, it is indeed a blessing to respond to your conversation this evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world is listening to this topic this evening, and it is regarding each of our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be, the messages that are gone forth so far was very much on point, but people are listening, and a lot of people are confused.
Mm-hmm.
We are indeed at the close of time. The Bible did warn that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And as we are now in Daniel chapter 11, we must study Daniel chapter 11 because, you know, many persons will say, the Bible is being fulfilled. All of the prophecies is being emptied out on us. And yet still many persons are asleep. So we need to study to show ourselves fooled as the Lord has directed us to. And this conversation this evening, you know, as someone mentioned earlier, we need to settle our disputations and come all on one accord. Because we cannot go before the Lord and say, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, because I didn't believe. John 5:24 says, he that readeth and believeth on him that sent me will have everlasting life. And as we are speaking about the remnant, the remnant is simply a group of people, as was stated, that will follow Christ from the beginning unto the end. And if you look at Revelation 14:12 and Revelation 12:17, that is indeed the church that Satan is angry with. Now you would ask yourself the question, why is Satan angry with this church? Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 is upon us. We cannot stay in Daniel chapter 11 because many persons are studying prophecy. They understand Bible history. We cannot remain in Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 is right upon us, connecting with Revelation chapter 13. So either we are right now settling our disputations, mm-hmm. being on one accord with Matthew 4:4, because we have to make up our minds. Either we're going to be ready for everlasting life mm-hmm. or everlasting contempt.
I like it.
Our salvation we are dealing with right now. So we have to make up our mind that we're going to be on one accord with heaven. Because if we're not on one accord down here below, see, the problem is, if we would follow what God says and not what man says, we will be in harmony with heaven. We will be recognizing one church here. We have to remember we're in a great controversy. Well, and the great controversy is about worship. So we need to look at our Bibles one more time, because many of us have been hearts have been hardened for far too long, and we are following a doctrine, a man-made doctrine, as Matthew 15:8-9 tells us.
Wow.
This great controversy is simply, and I'm stressing, because we are to sound the alarm. God wants to save us. He said he came to seek and save that which was lost. What Satan said, I came to kill, steal, and destroy. So if we continue to purly around with Satan and allow him to come in our sphere and dictate to us that we must follow his dictates, we're going to be lost.
We appreciate you so much.
He's not going to force us to choose him.
I got to let Pastor Paul jump in there, but I so appreciate your call. And you are in the spirit, I tell you. We thank you for joining us here today on Remark. Pastor Paul Miller, thank you so much again, my dear. Blessings. Go ahead, Pastor Paul.
You know, I want to make this simple. In John 17:17, Christ says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is true. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world.
Mm-hmm. For everybody.
For everybody. He don't want to be a Savior. He is your Savior.
But God could save whomsoever he chooses, can't he?
He has saved the whole world against their will now. Let me hasten. He's not going to take you to heaven against your will. So he brings you to a knowledge of that truth. Like, what? You did that for me, Jesus? Hallelujah. See, he's not in the process of trying. He already saved you. He's already put things in the motion and run for you to be saved.
Yes.
Or now you won't be saved. If you smile, you throw it away. See, he ain't trying to put you on the boat. You already on the boat to go to heaven. Because God so loved the world, that he has life who? The world.
For everybody.
Everybody. Another point I want to make too is, let's make it simple. God just wrote 10 commandments, just 10. And the whole world, he said, if the whole world follows those 10, guess what he says in Proverbs 3? My son, forget not my law. For length of days and long life and peace shall I add unto you. And that's what the world.
I believe so.
It's all based on his law. And now the thing is, can we keep his law? We cannot keep his law. He empowered us to keep his law.
I got something to share with you on that. Let me just take this caller real quick. Caller, you on the line. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, God. I appreciate you taking my call. Good afternoon to your guests, especially
good afternoon.
Yes.
Boy, caller, look like they got some music playing. You can make a quick point there, or you want to call back right after the break?
A couple, but see, I appreciate that the lady call and talk about getting together on one accord, right? Now, the only thing we can get together on is what is objective truth. You can't get together on your belief or on my belief, because if we have different beliefs, we can never go together. But if there's something that is written, that is true, we could agree on that. You know what I mean? And the Bible itself says that only the truth shall set us free. So any doctrine that is saying that you got to believe, it cannot be what we need to set us free. You understand where I'm coming from? So what we need to start to do, like a lady was talking about, is we need to talk about what is objective truth. And the Bible is not objective truth. Itself is not objective truth. The Bible, that's a book, don't even update in it. That is not classified as a real history book in historical terms. It is a book that is referred to as things of biblical history. The people in it, you can't tell when they were born, when they die. You can't show none of that. So the Bible, listen, we need to begin, like
hey,
I said before.
This is a deep conversation. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're welcome to call after the break, but we're winding out of time, folks. This is Remark. Here with Garth Roseborough, Guardian Radio 96.9. We'll be right back.
Winning on the court, just like investing, is about consistency and having the right partner. With RF's Advantage Plus brokerage account, you get exclusive access to high return securities, some yielding up to 7%, plus expert investment guidance. No need to chase every opportunity. We deliver priority trading, exclusive investments, and the lowest commissions, so you can focus on what matters most. Sign up for an RF Advantage Plus brokerage account today at rfgroup.com. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Make this Mother's Day extra special with Kelly's House and Home's Mother's Day sale Friday, May 2nd through Saturday, May 10th. Enjoy 20% off a beautiful selection of dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flowers, and picture frames, except on net items. These are all perfect and stylish gifts to show mom just how much she's loved. Hurry in and take advantage of Kelly's House and Home's 20% off Mother's Day sale Friday, May 2nd through Saturday, May 10th. Happy Mother's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
And welcome back to Remark. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahuna on Kusara. We're wrapping up the show today. It's been a lively and a provocative show, I think, in the Badaral Miller, right?
Mm-hmm.
Many people have said things today that I think deserve consideration, right? One of the last things, I know we only have a little bit of time left. The Bible is not the problem. I want to say that emphatically. The Bible is not the problem. The misinterpretation, the mistranslation is definitely the problem. The caller before said the Bible is not objective truth. Not if you study it from the eyes of the Greeks and the Romans, because they took out all the dates. They took out the images. They even took the original language that the Bible was written in and put it to the side. They translated over it. To translate any language is to destroy the original meaning of the words, right? When I said earlier that the Bible has been hijacked, I'm speaking about the fact that, number one, there was a war in heaven, okay? That war, when Satan and his angels were cast out, came here to earth. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, it talks about these false apostles who are parading as pastors, who are parading as ministers. It talks about Satan himself being an angel of light, right? And the confusion comes in because you have more than one story running through what we're calling the Bible today. In one instance, it says, yes, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, because he loved the entire world, right?
Yes.
But then he also said he only came for his own. He also said in John 17, 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I'm not saying that to disrespect anybody here. I'm saying the problem is we got to slow down. We got to look at the language. We got to appreciate what was written and how it was written originally. And the one accord, we're not going to be in one accord. How could you separate the sheep from the goat and we be in one accord? That's not going to happen. You're going to have those who want to follow the law, because the truth that's going to set us free is the law. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 142, talks about an everlasting righteousness, and it talks about the law being truth. We got to get back to the law. And originally, there were 613 commandments. They weren't just 10, but 6 plus 1 plus 3 is 10.
Wow. You can take this one last caller. Caller, go ahead, please, quickly, before Pastor Paul takes the mic.
Hello.
Good evening. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to call in response to the caller who was telling Uncle Buddy that the Bible was hijacked, or religion was hijacked. What happens is now, let's look at it. Let's put it in the right context. We have the Bibles that were fused together by the Council of Nicene, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have books that were excluded. So it's like if I go to court, but you don't give me all the evidence, but you want me to form a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, many of us are still in the spiritual wilderness. I don't care what people say, you know, because it is what it is. If you ask people, Christians to explain the doctrine of the Trinity, they really confuse. You get in the Father, the Spirit, whatever makes up the Son. You see what I'm saying? So we know the chronology, but yet still they would cannot explain that. And so the fact that there are dissimilarities and inconsistencies in biblical narratives shows that it's been adulterated by man. Of course, we have enough to go by, because we collect a Leviticus, Ecclesiastes, forward, and some things that are operistic, and we can look clearly today and see things that are being revealed. Hence the book Revelation. Mm-hmm. We see where all the leaders of all the world have become superized and have lent power to the beast and all of one sound mind. Okay? We see where in Genesis, the Lord God told them or said that man has become like us. Just after the judgment on Adam and Eve, so they said. He said he's become like us. Who's us? It's a lot of questions asked. We just can't be blind. Give thanks.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we can't take any more calls for the show, but thank you so much for your calls. We got to let these folks give their closing remarks so we can close the show up properly. Pastor Paul, go ahead quickly, 2 minutes. We've been running out of time quickly. This is the end of time, folks, for remarks. The end of time for this show. So, Pastor Paul, please, for God's sake, give it 2 minutes. Let me let Pastor Marker get his 2 minutes, and then I got to let my Cole say something, and then I got to do my work.
I got a challenge for all the listeners.
Go ahead.
God give 10 commandments. I need you to call me. You get my number from God. I'm not going to give it what else is, because I may be wrong. 10 commandments. If you can give me one sin in the world that exists today that need to be added to make the world a better place, I'll give you $100.
Well, these folks, you got $100 on the table. You got $100 on the table. And I can tell you where his church is too, man. He has a beautiful edifice just to make you comfortable to hear the word of God. You want to tell them where your church is located really quickly, Pastor?
We're on Summerhaven, South Beach on Sealink Avenue. My telephone number, can I give my number?
Sure, you can.
My telephone number, 357-8244. I have no hidden agenda. That's what I do for fun. I love all people. 357-8244.
Okay, 357-8244. 8244. 8244. 357-8244. Pastor Marco, your church, where is it located? And go ahead and give your closing remarks.
Yeah. Let me try to do a prophetic minute for you. Prophetic minute.
Well, your prophetic minute is being like a thousand years. That's a millennium. But go ahead.
Revelation 12. Satan got kicked out of heaven. Ever since he got kicked out of heaven, there's been a controversy going on between good and evil. And God is seeking to work to end that controversy. There's going to come a time where that's going to be ended. Prophecy is designed to help us understand God wins. We connect with Jesus, and we're going to win. But at the end of the day, each one of us is going to have to determine who our allegiance is going to be to. Is it going to be to God, or is it going to be to man-made philosophies? And I trust we will decide, hey, my allegiance is going to be with God.
Thank you so much for that word.
We're going to win. So we're located 29 Great Britain Street, right next to Gerald Cash Primary on the slope there. I'm Good News Center Venice Church, best church this side of the Jordan.
My Lord.
There may be some bigger, but ain't none better.
My Lord. Darwin Russell, give us your minute and your blessing.
He said Great Britain. I still on that. But nevertheless.
Great Britain.
That sounds interesting.
I got to back up with that. Considering the conversation today.
Yeah.
It was a very interesting conversation tonight. I think you at least shared some perspectives tonight that I don't think is common on talk radio. Certainly not common in the Commonwealth of Wama. So I want to thank the gentleman on behalf of Garth and myself for coming through and sharing what they had to share. And ain't nobody get beat up today, so ain't no blows were physically thrown. It was just verbally in the studio tonight. So we are all leaving, and I pray that everybody returns to their home safely.
Well, folks, this has been Remark. We're here at Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We want to invite you every Sunday, to tune in to 96.9 FM at 5 p.m. sharp. We're here. We got Wally on the board today, our producer. We love all the producers here at Guardian Radio. We love the management team. And if you truly love us and you want to encourage us to continue doing what we do, please become a part of the sponsorship team, sponsorship member, 302-2300. 302-2300. And let me tell you something. This is going to be the hottest show on Sunday because we're going to be mashing up some politics all the way through till election. If Jesus don't come by then, we're going to be right here to talk about this thing. And so if you want to promote your business, you want to promote your church, you want to have a particular family event, please reach out to the Guardian Radio staff, 302-2300. We'll be more than happy to give you our affordable rates here on Sunday. You know, I'm going to give you that blessing. I'm going to push your business, push your ideas, and we're going to have some great conversations coming up in the future. So once again, Remark, Garth, Minard, Roseboro, Darwin, Russell, Uncle Sarah, Pastor Henry Munker, and Pastor Paul Miller, it was great being here with you. We love you guys. That's why we come out here every Sunday. It's great to be a Bahamian. It's great to be a blessed child of God. And for those of you who have not yet met God or you do not believe in God, let me tell you something. We love you all the same. God bless you.
Rush to shore. Don't they know it's the end of the world? 'Cause you don't love me anymore. Why do the birds go on singing? Why do the stars glow? My heart go on beating. Why do these eyes of mine cry? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when you said goodbye.